Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Nick Caserio press conference just finished up. A lot of stuff Nick talked about in there that I think is worth revisiting. I had never heard that number before, Seth, where there's 1,000 names that get put out there yesterday, give or take, and that there's only 30 to 35 waiver claims every year.
Mm-hmm.
I get way more nervous. I was unnecessarily nervous about the Texans this year with their cutdowns, apparently, about the likelihood of guys getting picked up on waivers by other teams. I didn't know it was that minuscule a number percentage-wise.
I'm going from memory off of a graph I saw last week. If I remember correctly, I think running backs are pretty heavily weighted on that.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 35 claims, there's more than it's more than 1/22nd running backs. So that's something that people are kind of, because running backs are kind of a commodity these
days.
Disposable,
like people, yeah.
Yeah, like whether, like the top of the barrel to the bottom of the barrel isn't as vast as necessarily a lot of other positions.
Right.
So that makes sense. But yeah, I guess you don't necessarily look at this as that, oh, it's a gold rush.
Right. Because
these are, after all, they are guys that have been released from teams that have any number of players on their team that aren't even going to play in week one.
Yeah.
So it's the guys you get genuinely excited about, I think, tend to be guys that get traded for.
Yeah.
And that's where I think right now, I don't think Nick is being evasive or anything when he talks about how you don't know exactly what you might be targeting because you don't know what's out there, and you don't know what trades are available or who might be interested in trading for one of your players. I do think that just because they're so chock full of wide receivers right now, that without even naming a specific player, there's a chance that one of those guys gets traded away at some point.
Maybe.
Because they're overloaded with viable wide receivers right now.
Well, and one of them, you know, listed as a wide receiver is Steven Sims. And I think that's where, and Nick talked about the kickoff return rules. And, you know, did that affect any decisions? I still think that there's a bit of mystery with this team as to who's going to handle those duties. And maybe that's one of the reasons Damian Pierce is still on the team. That's definitely a reason I would say that Steven Sims is still on the team, particularly in punt return. They cut Desmond King, who's the other guy they have. I still think a big variable in all this is how they view Tank Dell on special teams. Do they view him as a part of the return game? The one chance he got to do that against Pittsburgh this preseason, he busted off like a 25-yard punt return to set up a touchdown pass to someone named Tank Dell.
Yeah, that's right. So, that was you know what? You're right. That entire drive was a Tank Dell. It began and ended with a Tank Dell big plays.
Now, the flip side of that is he got drilled by two players on the sideline. Some would say, you know, unnecessarily you're exposing him to that stuff.
That was one of the things I picked up on, because I end up watching a lot of other – I watch way more preseason games of other teams than I typically do in the preseason.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I think the new kickoff rules had the officials all screwed up, not just on kickoffs but on punts. There were a lot of late hits out of bounds that didn't get flagged.
Yeah.
I was to the point where, look, I like as much violence in football as possible, but I like it to be clean violence.
Yeah.
I was getting a little PO'd, especially when Tank got the brunt of it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I like violence too, but not involving Tank Dell.
There was no flag on that play.
Right, right. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy.
So, did you do a Twitter poll about whether or not people approved of Tank Dell being used as a punt returner?
I don't think. I got to go back and look.
I bet there's pretty stark disagreement on that. I think there's some people that don't want Tank out there as anything other than a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And it would include in that they don't want him blocking on goal line plays, but I don't know.
I didn't. And I said I would, and I didn't.
Okay.
I'll do that. I'll make that a point.
It's one of the many ways you've let me down.
British Brooks. He was asked about British Brooks. I should have known who was doing this press conference, Nick Caserio. I was really hoping for an answer like, that's a guy who made the team on the last day. Instead, what we got was a long quote that ended with, if he's able to stay on the team, end quote.
It was,
And that's a reminder, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's really cool he made the team. It's one thing to get the spot. It's another thing to keep the spot.
I was hoping for, you know, in some of our radio fluff, that there might be a more specific question about a British Brooks being used as a fullback.
Yeah.
But we'll have Nick on next week, and we can ask him that.
Yeah, we'll ask him.
but because it did very much feel like, okay, yes, like obviously he's a hardworking guy who's tough as hell, but it looked in that final preseason game like that was an audition for fullback.
Right.
And he gave you the best fullback play we saw out of anybody all preseason long. So, I do not like these new hybrid 6'3" tight end / fullbacks because they rarely make an impact as blockers.
Yeah.
And like they just can't get low enough to just get up under the chin of a linebacker. Really, I mean like swing a sledgehammer on a linebacker's chin and mess up his reads for the next two or three series because his bell is rung.
Yeah.
Old school stuff like that. But in modern football, you can't justify a guy who's just a fullback. So the great, you know, he's got to have some receiving ability, and then he's either got to be capable as a tight end or, in the case of British Brooks, as an actual running back.
Yeah.
So it's if I'm going to have a hybrid, I like this type of hybrid because, man, that dude's got some football violent tendencies to him, and I like it.
He does.
Yeah.
And they didn't have that at that position last year.
I like that Neville Hewitt is the defense's bruiser.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the enforcer type on the defensive side, and he wears 43, and British Brooks wears 44. We've got real poster potential there.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
Case Keenum, you could tell from Nick that he, you know, he obviously was disappointed about how Case's season has ended with going on injured reserve. Deferred to Case on whether or not this is a segue into a coaching career. And said, hopefully he'll be around the building. So I would hope so too.
How is the depth chart for Bobby Slowick replacements right now? I've thought about this ever since they hired D'Amico Ryans. Is that all right? If you're a defensive minded head coach, you got to have a roster of people that you've got an eye on as offensive coordinators for when that guy leaves, because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You want to have some continuity. I think that Gerard Johnson, Bill Lazor, Ben McDaniels, and now maybe Case Keenum are all on that depth chart somewhere.
Yeah.
So I feel if they hire from within, maybe they would go from outside the organization. Lots of teams run very similar systems as this. But I think that I do feel good that they're kind of probably grooming all those guys as potential Bobby Slowick replacements.
Yeah, this is a great point. It's a really good topic because I think what people don't realize, I think Ben McDaniels was calling plays at times.
Yeah.
Out of practice, and so they.
And he is the passing game coordinator,
right?
Too.
Right, and,
yeah.
And he's probably an aspiring, like his brother was an aspire. He's Josh McDaniels' brother. For those who don't know, I'm sure aspires to keep moving up the coaching ranks. So he was getting reps calling plays during training camp. So everybody's honing their game. Even the backup offensive coordinators are honing their game calling plays.
Yeah, like Bill Lazor, who doesn't, you know, he's not front and foremost. He's an offensive assistant, but he's been a coordinator in the league before. And yeah, Gerard Johnson took at least one interview last year. So it's they've got to have more than one guy who's laying in wait as the coordinator. You never know. Bobby Slowick might. The Texans do really well this year, and he doesn't like the opportunities that are out there for whatever reason. He might pull his hat out of the ring. You just never know.
Yeah, yeah. So my guess is D'Amico Ryans has a list at least 10 deep of possible names that it could be if Bobby's. He would put it this
like
way.
Like he did when he interviewed with Cal McNair. Like Cal told us the other day. They asked him that, and he had a list of names all ready to go.
Good managers do that in the business world, and I say managers like in a generic term. Like he's a head coach. He's upper management. He has a list of guys. I feel confident. I don't know who they would eventually hire to replace Slowick and if that person's going to be good as Bobby Slowick is, but D'Amico Ryans will not be caught off guard when that day comes.
It's one of those things that even the greatest of coaches succumb to it, and namely Bill O'Brien, Bill Belichick and Andy Reid. Two of the greatest coaches of this century, they were both caught in situations where in New England, Bill Belichick ended up having a defensive coordinator and a special teams coordinator co-coordinate the offense.
Yeah.
That was a disaster. Andy Reid took a defensive line coach, right, and made him the offensive coordinator in his last year in Philly.
Yep.
So it's, complacency attacks us all.
Yeah.
Nobody's immune to it. So I think that's one thing as an owner, you got to always be on your head coach and your GM about stuff like that.
Yep.
Not on them, but, you know, be conscious of what their blind spots might be.
For sure. There was a missed opportunity in this press conference to to get Nick really into excited Nick mode when he when they were talking about the new kickoff rules and if they think that, you know, they're going to make any changes to it or whatever. When Nick, I feel like he was almost begging for a question about the new private equity investment rule for NFL ownership. Like, he proactively brought it up. He's like, you know, the owners got together yesterday, and I'm sure this wasn't nearly as big a topic as private equity funds now being able to buy into NFL teams. And I felt like, I couldn't see the video, but I felt like Nick had the look in his face like, guys, huh? We want to talk private equity? Let's go.
Want to talk valuations or something?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be very interesting. Very
Nick,
interesting indeed.
Don't worry. If you're listening, you will get asked about private equity funds on Payne and Pendergast next time you're on, okay? We'll scratch you right where you itch, you stock market junkie, I tell you. John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson. I thought his answer about that was interesting. He painted a picture as best he could, you know, as much as Nick will, of Hutchinson being a guy who just kept getting better and improving throughout camp, whereas Metchie, he almost, you could tell by the way he framed it that there were ups and downs with John Metchie. I think the way he phrased it was John Metchie had his spots in camp. So I think that's sort of acknowledgement there that, like, hey, man, like, it was not the smoothest road for Metchie this training camp.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the way the question was phrased was almost like, well, you know, people were making a lot out of this, was it a big deal? Like, I don't feel guilty at all about wondering whether John Metchie or Xavier Hutchinson would get cut.
No.
It was an extremely competitive wide receiver. I don't feel like that was some propped up topic. I think that a lot of our listeners and fans and everybody else were very engaged in that.
Yeah.
So I will make no apologies for talking about whether the two young receivers on a team that has three A-plus studs at the top, but also Robert Woods,
Noah Brown, other vets.
Yeah.
And by the way, Noah Brown, boy, he was... Nick was all about Noah Brown's performance in those Tampa Bay and Cincinnati games. Said he literally won two games by himself.
He said he had 1,000 yards in two receiving games, in two games.
Yeah.
Which, that's a Bill O'Brien level of... who did he do that with? It was the running back.
I forget.
Oh, no, it was the running back from Miami.
The one they... Lamar Miller.
Lamar Miller,
yeah.
Lamar Miller, one of the more underrated Texans in history. Bill O'Brien on Hard Knocks in his conversation with Rick Smith was like, yeah, he had like 300 yards rushing that day.
Rick was no. You're thinking of Chris Polk.
Oh, it's Chris Polk.
It was Chris Polk. No, they did the same thing with Lamar Miller because that was before the Lamar Miller game. That was the Lamar Miller did that in 2015 against the Texans.
So, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Chris Polk, which makes it even worse. Chris Polk ended up being the fourth string running back on this team. Lamar Miller was at least a starter for the Texans for a few years.
What was his saying?
Bang bang chicken and shrimp.
Bang bang chicken and shrimp.
Bang bang chicken and shrimp.
Him and his mom shared that.
I knew that's what you were going to ask. I was about to guess. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll dig more into what Nick Caserio had to say. Him and D'Amico Ryans. We'll start to get you ready for In the Loop here as well. We'll find out. Those guys were listening in on Nick Caserio. What's moved them as far as the Texans putting a 53-man roster together? We will do that coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.